Parshat Naso, which, just a quick word about Naso and about the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Parshat Naso is well known to be, among trivia buffs, the longest parasha. It's not true. It has the most psukim, but it's not the longest parasha, because quite a number of the psukim are short. But it includes, and it is essentially a Baal Kriya's dream and a Balabas's nightmare. Right? Correct? Your bar mitzvah? Right. So you know what I mean. Right? First of all, if your bar mitzvah is not so, then you are the star of every Hanukkah. Right? And they call you up to lane. Second thing is, when you're laning, there's 89 psukim, which is about half the parsha, makes up chapter 7, the longest chapter in the chapter divisions we have in Chumash, and it is almost all repetitious, which raises a lot of questions. The chief question being, why would the Torah, that's usually so economic in its presentation, be so verbose as to present the same thing 12 times when it's each Nasi? We already know who the Nasim are. We already know the order of the tribes based on the camps. So it could have had one pasuk that just said, and they all brought in the order that they camped, starting with Yehudah, ending with Naphtali, and then here's what they brought, and each one brought it that day. But instead it spells it all out. So you have about 68 or so extra psukim. So there's clearly something going on there. However, that follows what seems to be the last piece of putting the Machaneh together. So you finish the census issue and the jobs of the Levim. That's the beginning of the Parsha. Afterwards, you have the mitzvah of Shiluach Tmeim and of Gezel Hager and of Sota and Nazir. It seems to be sort of cleaning up issues of setting up a healthy society with potential for sanctity. And then it ends with Birchat Kohanim. What Birchat Kohanim is doing in the middle of that, unclear. And then it follows with the Chanukat HaMizbeach. And the beginning of Balotcha is like we're now just about ready to go. And that's when everything caves in. The middle of Balotcha, everything kind of shifts. But we'll leave that that depression for next week. But because Naso has the Nazir smack in the middle of it, perhaps this is the reason. The Haftarah that we read is the Haftarah about the one Nazir that we know of in Tanakh. So let's back it off a minute and ask, who are Nazirim of whom we know in Tanakh? So we're going to talk about Shimshon. Is there anybody else? So the answer is you're right. There's nobody else who's called a Nazir. However, there are two different people that Chazal suggest were Nazirim, famous people, who Chazal suggests were Nazirim, but not everybody's on board with that. The first one is Avshalom. Why would anybody think Avshalom was a Nazir? What would be the hair? And the story was that he would cut his hair, and it would be a huge amount, and he would give that amount of value into the king, etc. It was like a big thing. And so we have a halachic concept that Rebbe promotes called Nazirut Avshalom, in which somebody who is a Nazir Avshalom is a Nazir Olam, meaning Nazir forever. And he gets to shave his hair once a year based on that pasuk about Avshalom. Okay. And then there's yet another character who is subject to dispute as to whether he was a Nazir, and that is Shmuel. Because in Chana's Tefillah, she made a comment to Moralo Yalal Rosho. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean a razor won't go on his head? Or does it mean fear won't go on him and he won't be afraid of anybody? And that's a dispute that shows up at the very end of Masachat Nazir in the Mishnah. But the one person who's actually called Nazir, as we all know, is Shimshon. So I want to take a look at Shimshon and his Nazirut and what that means. So let's start with the following question. What is a Nazir defined by? You think of a Nazir.
But he doesn't.
He's defined by abstention, correct. And what is it that he has to abstain from?
Wine.
Wine and all grape products, right? So even grapes, raisins, right? What else? What else must a Nazir avoid doing besides grape stuff?
Well, the hair.
What?
Hair.
Hair, which means he can't cut his hair. Okay? Good. What else? There's a third thing, which actually is, in a sense, the most vital thing, which is Tumat Mate. Why do I call it the most vital thing? Because let's say that somebody's a Nazir. What's the default period of Nazirut? Somebody says, I'm a Nazir. How long are they a Nazir for?
30 days.
30 days. right? And we get that from either a gematria of Yehiya, or else we get it from Gadel Pera, and for the hair to grow out, typically it's 30 days. That's for people who still have it. And what happens if a Nazir on day 20 gets a haircut? What happens?
Starts over.
No.
Nope.
So what happens if you eat a cheeseburger today?
It brings a korban?
Nope. What if happens if you eat a cheeseburger today?
Nothing.
Nothing. What if somebody was standing there saying, "Don't eat a cheeseburger"? It's a lo tase. Let's say it was cooked together. So lo tase d'oraita. Then what would happen to you?
Just keep going.
No, you'd stop eating the cheeseburger, hopefully. But if you continued after the person warned you, then you get makot. You violated all the tassay of the Torah. What happens if an Azir gets a haircut? He gets makot. And there's all interesting diyun in Masachet Makot about that. What happens if they say to him, "Don't cut your hair," and he cuts it? And then they say again, "Don't cut your hair," and he cuts it. Does he get double makot, etc.? Or is it all one thing? All right, fine. Gets makot. What happens if an Azir is sitting there and he takes a cup of wine? And he says, "You're a Nazir, don't drink wine." It's a lo tase. He says, "I don't care," and he drinks it. What happens to him? Well, that's makot. What happens to his Nazirut? It continues. Just like if you had a cheeseburger today. You're still who you were yesterday, and nothing's changed about you, except you did a lo tase, and you've got to do kapara for that. But it hasn't changed your status.
How does the status change?
Now, what's the only circumstance where a Nazir status will actually change? And that is Tumat Meit. And that's explicit in the Parsha, and it occupies the middle third of the Parsha of Nazir. The first third of the Parsha of Nazir is pretty equally apportioned. The first third of the Parsha of Nazir defines what the Nazir's prohibitions are. And it extends even to, just like a Kohen Gadol, to a funeral for parents, etc., anybody, right? The only exception halachically is a Meit Mitzvah. The middle section is what happens if a Nazir's Nizirut is violated because suddenly he encounters dead. Most typically, somebody inside the same house dies. And then he's Tamei, so what happens is he has to wait 7 days and go through the Tahara, and then he shaves himself, and then he brings Korbanot, and the Korban is a Korban Asham Nazir Tamei, and then he has to start again. And if the Nazirut that he took was a 3-month Nazirut, and on the last day of the Nazirut, somebody died in the house, wait 7 days, etc., and he has to do another 3 months. The Mishnah tells a story about Heleni Hamalka, who took a neder of Nazirut for 7 years. If her son would come back safely from war, that was her deal. And she did it, and towards the end of the Nazirut, there was an interruption in it, and she had to do another 7 years. So, in a sense, Tumat Meit is the most vital part of Nazirut, and the proof of that is that it's the only violation that can actually break the Nazirut and force you to do a do-over. All right. And yet, Shimshon was the most famous Nazir, the only person who's actually called a Nazir, in Tanakh, is clearly not bound by the issue of Tumat Meit. We'll see that in a moment. But first, let's see the definition. If you take a look at source 1 on the page, it's a Mishnah at the beginning of Masachat Nazir. And the beginning of Masachat Nazir follows the same contours as the beginning of Masachat Nidarim. The beginning of Masachat Nidarim, the first two prakim, all deal with verbiage, and later prakim, and it picks it up, verbiage that will be a successful neder of neder. So if you say konam or konas, different phrases, it works as a neder. Masachat Nazir starts the exact same way, almost a replica. And it says if you say nazik, naziach, paziach, these are all kinuyim, then that makes you a nazir. The second Mishnah, after a brief start on something else, then says, hareini kishimshon, or kiven manoach, or kibal delila, which is interesting, kemisha akar daltot aza, kemisha nikru plishtim etenav. So, in other words, if you say, "I am like," and then you use anything to describe uniquely Shimshon, there's nobody else that we know of who picked up the gates of Aza and carried them. There's nobody else that we know of who had an affair with Delilah. There's nobody else that we know of who was a son of Manoach. There might have been other people like that, but we don't know about them. So when you say, "I am like Delilah's lover," or "I am like the guy who carried the walls," you're trying to say, "I'm like Shimshon," then you are a Nazir Shimshon. And now, ma bein Nazir Olam le Nazir Shimshon. So Nazir Olam is that one we mentioned earlier, Nazir Olam Mahichbid Saro Mikel Batar. Remember, that's the model of Avshalom, is that when his hair gets too heavy, he's allowed to lighten it. That's the special dispensation for a Nazir Olam, somebody who's taken Nazirut in perpetuity. And of course, famously, we had a Nazir Olam in Yerushalayim in the 20th century, David Cohen HaNazir, the Rav Kook's closest friend. Umevi Shalosh Behemot, right? And every time he shaves his hair, he has to bring the full Korban Nazir and then start again, which is why the Nazir in Yerushalayim didn't do that. What happens if a Nazir Olam encounters death? He has to go through that ritual. Nazir Shimshon, Ichbid Saro Eino Mekel. A Nazir Shimshon, I don't care how much hair he's got, he can never lighten it up. He can't cut any of it. Which means his rules are a little different than everybody else. And here's the other one, Vim Nitma Eino Mivi Korban Tuma. But if he encounters death, he doesn't bring Korban Tuma. What does that mean? That means that Nazirut Shimshon is some sort of weird category in which, on the one hand, your hair becomes inviolate absolutely, but on the other hand, far more surprisingly, Tumat Meit is not a player. Because Tumat Meit can't be in the middle. It can't be, if you need Mabe Meit, then, you know, you do like a regular Tumat Meit, you don't go to the Mikdash for 7 days, everything else, but Nazirut isn't affected. Either it is or it isn't. He's not affected by Tumat Meit as a Nazir. He would have what I just said, you have to avoid the Mikdash and, you know, etc., but it doesn't affect his Nazirut at all. But that's kind of weird. Why would that be the case? So let's think back to the original mission. And here we have a passage from this week's Haftarah, but we're going to look further into other passages about Shimshon.
Are both categories time-bound?
They're both not time-bound.
So neither.
Nazir Olam means a person says, I'm a Nazir forever. Nazir Shimshon means, I'm a Nazir Shimshon, which means I'm a Nazir forever, but I got these other rules. One rule is...
It's not going to take me just for 30 days.
Right. So a lot of a guy says, I'm a Nazir Shimshon for 30 days, that may be meaningful. To say I'm a Nazir Olam for 30 days doesn't mean very much. And then we get into the whole problem of contradictory statements, and do we tfos lashon rishon, do we take the first thing you said, do we they cancel each other out, right? That's Machloket or Meriosi about what happens when you utter contradictory things. So take a look here. Now, the context of what we're looking at here is that there is a family of Sheva Dan. And evidently, some of Sheva Dan stayed in the Beit Shemesh area. Remember, the Sheva Dan did not conquer any of its land near Tel Aviv. And they ended up encamping in the hills of Yehuda. Machane Dan. And at some point, early in the Shoftim period, they moved north and they conquered a town up in north called Leshem or Laish, and they changed it to Dan. That's a famous story. But in the meantime, evidently, a bunch of the members of Dan stayed around Beit Shemesh. And there's a family that lives Bein Tzorah uVein Eshta'ol. You know where they are? It's in the hills below near Beit Shemesh. There's a lot of good wineries there these days, which is, I think, kind of ironic, but a lot of fun. In any case, very likely the fellow's name, the baby who's born, is Shimshon, is probably named because they're right near Beit Shemesh, which is called Beit Shemesh because... It was a sun cult that was there. All right. V'atayin shamrina v'altishtiyayim b'shechar. So now, this woman is a family of Shevet Dan, and the woman is out in the field, and suddenly a malach appears to her, and he says to her, behold, you are barren, but guess what? You're now going to be pregnant and have a child. And that child is going to save Am Yisrael from the plishtim. Classic shoftim kind of move. Somebody's going to be raised up to Nehadigal. And now he says to her, and this is very weird, Hishamrina v'altishtiyayim v'shechar. What does he tell her to do? What does he tell the mom to do? Don't drink wine or alcohol, by the way. Interesting. Right? Yayim v'shechar. V'altochli kol tameh. And don't do what? Eat anything that's tamei, or eat anything that's not kosher, maybe. Right? You have to be careful what you eat. Now, why would he tell this woman, unless it's like, you know, alcohol is bad for pregnancy, it's not something they know about then. Why would he tell this woman, you cannot drink any wine, nor can you eat anything tamei? And by the way, until when? When does that end?
Maybe when the kid's born?
Yeah, maybe. Where does it say that? Here's the reason. You are pregnant, even though you are barren, you're going to be pregnant, and you're going to have a son. What does that mean? No razor can go on his head, right? Or will go on his head. Ki nazir Elohim yeh nar min habatan. He will be a nazir Elohim from birth, from the womb. V'hu yachel oshit Yisrael mi'al plishtim. And he's going to begin the war against the plishtim. He's going to go fight against the plishtim. So he's going to be a mighty warrior, and he's going to be a nazir Elohim, and there will be no razor go on his head, so therefore you don't drink wine. Excuse me, but my in Shemitah, it's a lakshin. What does the mother's diet have to do with the kid's religiosity?
Is this the
Minabetan? What? Minabetan. So that means that if she drinks wine, it's Kilu he's drinking wine, which should therefore mean that the minute he's born, she can have a l'chaim. Right? The minute he's out of the Betan, right? Which may
unless,
be the case.
Unless not.
So let's see.
But 1 second. Is this the first time we're hearing this year in anywhere? Like, do we have it in Torah?
What?
This year.
Sure. So this week's parsha. That's why this is left Torah.
No, but I'm saying in terms of these. I guess we have the rules there too. Okay, fine.
Right. Vatavoha isha, vatomer li isha lemor. So the woman comes and tells her husband, "Isha Elohim ba'elai." There was a godly man, or man of God, came to me. She's still not sure what he is. She says he looks like a malach, but she's not sure if he's an ish or malach. Right. V'lo shilti away mizehu v'etshmo lo higidli. It's all very mysterious. I didn't ask him where he's from. He didn't tell me his name. Interesting. She adds that in that he didn't say he'll be a nazir from the minute he's born until he dies. The malach didn't say anything about dies, but okay. But she says he told me. So you know what is it? She came home and her husband said, "Have a lachem." Said, "No, I can't." You know, maybe she's responding. She says, and he told me not to have any wine or anything tamei because of this reason. And you got to admit, this is very surprising. It's all very bizarre. Now this is skipping ahead. Manoach turns to God and says, "Please send the man back." Now, is it because Manoach feels a little foolish that his wife got to say malach and he didn't? Is Manoach not trust her and not believe her and wants some confirmation? Does he want to talk to him himself and see what this guy's all about? We don't know. But he says, "Please send him back." So what happens? She goes back out to the field, and the guy shows up again to her. Clearly, Mr. Manoach is being dissed. And then she runs back and says he's there, and she brings her husband to come, and he comes. And he says to the guy, "Please tell me what to do with the boy." And the guy says, "Mikol asher amarti al ha'isha tishamer." Now, almost everybody reads Tishamer as second person masculine, not third person feminine. See, Tishamer could be she has to watch. But then it would just be confirming what he already said. It seems like he's saying, you also have to do the same thing. You also have to avoid drinking, which now kind of shoots that womb thing, right? Doesn't seem to work. Mikol asher yitzei migefen hayayin lo tochal, v'yayin v'sheichar al teisht, v'chol tumah al tochal, kol asher tiviti al tishmor. So now, Mr. Manoach is now being bound to avoid wine, and evidently now suddenly avoid grapes, and tumah, nothing about death, and nothing about getting a haircut, and the son we've heard is going to be a Nazir Elohim, and one of the signs of that is that Morah lo yel al rosho. The question is, what is Nazirut Shimshon? And what's this deal with the parents? What kind of Nazir is Shimshon? So if I ask the average person on the street, you ever heard of Samson? Sure, Samson and Delilah. I know, I have Ella and Lewis singing it. Yeah, it's true.
That was good.
But if I ask you, what? Tell me one thing that you picture about Samson. What are they going to tell you?
His hair.
His hair. Okay, we all Samson and his hair. Samson has here become very famous because, of course, that is the Samson and Delilah scene, which we have here. The question is, what is Shimshon's relationship with the rest of Nazirut? So there's three prongs to Nazirut. One prong of Nazirut is the hair, and we know about that. Although the results are kind of weird. Because it's not like you get makot for cutting your hair. You get weakened by cutting your hair. That's pretty weird. But what about tumat mate? So tumat mate, by definition, he can't be bound by. Because what's his whole job? Kill people. Right? And it wasn't then like today. We press a button and some smart bomb goes off. It's going to be hand-to-hand combat. And that's what he does. 1,000 police team with the jawbone of an ass. Chamor chamor atayim. All right, so he's going to be tamei mate left and right. So that can't be it. What's left? Haircut? We know. Tumat mate? Not. What's left? Wine. So we would certainly assume that if Shimshon's parents, for some bizarre reason, can't drink wine, and why his father can't, we don't get, and we also don't know what the terminus on Kwem is. When is his mother allowed to have finally have a l'chaim? We don't know. And certainly we'd assume Shimshon is bound by that, right? Okay. We have an interesting, crazy thing happen here. Shimshon falls in love with a plishti girl. He's hot for this girl. That's exactly what the text says, what the Mishnah and Sota famously says. He's got the eyes for this girl. And he convinces his parents to arrange a wedding. So his parents come down to Timnah, in the middle of Yehuda territory, meet this girl, they agree to the wedding, and then on the way down, they separate. On the way down to Timnah, they separate. Let's see where it is. Because something happens that Shimshon does that his parents don't know about. Take a look in source 3. Vayered Shimshon ve'aviv bimno Timnata. They go down to Timnah. Vayavohad karmei Timnata. They come to the what? Karmei Timnata. What's a karam? Vineyard. They come to the vineyards of Timnata. Suddenly a cub, a lion cub, is roaring at Shimshon. Now, where are his parents? We assume they're right with him, right? Not. Suddenly the spirit of Hashem comes on, the spirit of strength comes on him. He rips the lion apart, just like you'd rip a lamb apart. I'm sorry, but that just didn't speak to me. But okay. Without a weapon. He didn't tell his parents. How could he not tell his parents? What does that tell you? They're not there. In other words, he went one way, they went the other way, he encountered a lion. So what do we assume, because we picture Shimshon as a full-blown Nazir, with the exception of Tumat Meit, and they're coming near a vineyard, what do we assume happened? What?
It was the vineyard.
Who went to the vineyard?
Parents.
The parents went to the vineyard. Why not? And the old saw that we say, Amri Nazira, Schor Schor Amri Nazira. We tell the Nazir to walk around. L'charma lo tikrav. Don't go into the karam. Why? Because you're a Nazir. You better avoid temptation. So we assume that he's on the outside of the karam. They went through the karam. While he's on the outside, he rips apart the lion. The only problem is, why would they go through a karam if they're not allowed to drink wine? So let's keep going. What happens when he gets to Timnah? Vayashu miyamim lekachta. Vayered vaydaber laisha, shah b'nei Shimshon. They come and meet with the girl. They agree to have a wedding. So now, vayashu miyamim lekachta. He comes down a year later to marry her. Vayasa derot ma'pelatariyeh. He goes off to see where that lion that he killed was. Inside the carcass of the lion, there's a beehive. Vayudeu al kapav, he sticks his hands in, and to get honey. Vayela chaloch lachol, he's eating as he's walking. He gives his parents some of the honey, and they eat it. He doesn't tell his parents where he got it from. And his parents are clueless about this lion thing. And by the way, everybody's clueless about the lion thing, which leads to the famous riddle that we talked about a year and a half ago, and how he misled the people with the riddle. But the riddle was all based on knowing that the honey came from the inside the lion. All right. What does Shimshon host there? What does Shimshon host in Timnah? A mishteh. What's a mishteh? A party, but it's a party that's driven by
kegger.
Not a kegger, actually, but a barreler. Right? It's wine. So Shimshon's hosting a wine party. Okay, I guess you could argue that he's, you know, he's the AA guy at serving the drinks, but it's a little bit weird. And then what happens is the people see him and they say, well, this guy needs an entourage. They give him 30 plishtim to be his entourage. And then he famously riddles the riddle, which led to this title. He riddles the riddle and they can't solve the riddle. And then they finally get it out of the girl and he goes and kills 30 men in Ashkelon. And that's the pasuk number 4. And kills 30 men and brings their suits and pays off his debt and he leaves in a huff. Shimon's story is a great story. A lot of fun. But notice that the wine is not a problem for him. And being around the party is not a problem for him. Even though somebody separated from somebody when they went through the Karen. So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that Shimshon has no problem with wine. I don't mean personally, I mean halachically. Shimshon can have wine. Not an issue. And Shimshon is not a Nazir in any sense. Except that he's a Nazir in the sense that he has a certain thing from which he abstains. Because what does Lahazir mean? It means to abstain. I'm not making it up. Please take a look at source number 6. In Amos, Perek Bet, Hashem says through the Navi, all these great things I did for you. And among them, Va'akim mibnechem linvi'im, u'mibachurechem linnazirim. I raised of your sons to be Nevi'im and of your choice young men to be Nazirim. What does that mean? So if you take a look in Rashi, on that Pasuk, Rashi says, L'Nazirim means L'malfin, teachers. Shayu prushim mederchei amaretz. These are people who are just ascetic. V'oskim b'torah, because ein nazira ela b'chol makom ela l'shon prisha. What does Nazirah mean? It always means abstention. So what does Nazirah? Rashi says, Nazirim in this pasuk does not mean Nazirites who avoid wine. It means holy people. People who live an ascetic life. Which, by the way, in modern Hebrew, what's a monk in Hebrew? A Nazir, known as a Nazirah. Somebody who avoids, abstains from regular life, from regular pleasures of life. And the proof of the pudding is this. What is Shimshon's downfall? In source 5, Shimshon and Delilah are playing their games, which are clearly games. Thanks. And Delilah keeps saying, oh, come on, what's going to make you weak? And he makes up a story, and he makes up a story, and makes up a story. And she finally starts kvetching. And finally he tells her the truth. What does he tell her? Please take a look, and we'll see how strange this is. Vayagid la kolibo, he tells her the real truth. Vayomer la, mora lo ala al roshi. I never had a razor on my head. Ki nazir Elohim ani mibetani mi. I am a nazir to God from my mother's womb. Im gulachti v'sar meni chochi v'chalit v'ayti kol adam. If I am shaven, then my hair will leave me and I'll be like everybody else. Vateri la ki yin la kol libo. She saw that he really was speaking the truth. Chazal, interesting question about how she knew that. Sachat gulach shnei shim limor alu apam ki yin la kol libo. She told the plishti generals who were paying her a lot of money to get the truth out of him. This is it. They brought all the money, the silver they were going to pay her with. She got him to sleep on her knees. I think it's pretty easy to figure that one out. She summoned a man who came in and cut his 7 braids. And suddenly he felt weak. She used the same phrase she used every time. The plishtim are here, the plishtim are here. Vayikatz mishnato, he woke up. Vayomer etzek if I'm fam even the air, I'll get up like every time and I'll kill him. Vule adaki he didn't know God was gone. Zuflishtim vanekut and now the plishtim grabbed him and they poked out his eyes and they put him in the prison and there he is blind, hairless in the prison. And what's the little sign of hope at the end of this parsha? Vayachal sa'ar roshodet sameach kasher gulach. His hair started to grow back after it was shaven. That's kind of a little sign of hope that ultimately leads to Shimshon's biggest act of violence, which is taking the house down and himself with it and 3,000 plishtim. Right. Why didn't Shimshon just turn to her and say, give me a sip of wine and I'll be weak? Give me a sip of wine because I'm a Nazir. So I'd like to suggest that wine is not an issue for Shimshon. Shimshon's got one issue, and that issue is the hair. What is about the hair? I don't know. That's something beyond what I can figure out. But the one thing that the Malach told the mother and told the father, and that Shimshon is known for, and that Shimshon says to Delilah, and that actually works in both directions. When it's shaven off, he loses his strength, and when it starts to grow back, he gains some strength, is his hair. That's it. So why is he called a Nazir? Like Rashi says, Nazir is somebody who abstains. He's in the Zir Elohim in Abetin, some sort of special thing, and it's about the hair. So you're going to turn around and ask me, so please explain the parents. Why aren't the parents allowed to have wine? Why is the mother not allowed to have wine? And we don't know until when. We assume till the baby's born, but there's no mention of that. But the minute we hear the father can't have wine, that goes out the window. So what's that all about? And notice the parents can have their haircut. The parents can go to funerals. Parents aren't bound by any of that. Weird. So I'd like to suggest the following. This kid is going to be born with superhuman strength. We hear about that. He'll be born with unbelievable ability to pick up the walls of a city and carry them 50 miles. Who can imagine that? Shimshon is our Hercules. You know, imagine that's the way we talk about him. What happens with that kind of strength? What's the upside of that kind of strength?
Arrogance?
You could, with the upside of that kind of strength, you could do amazing things.
Well, upside.
You could save people. You could lift a car off somebody who's trapped. You could push over something that's hurting people. You could push open a door that's being closed to stop people from helping. You could do a lot of great things. What's the downside? We all know what the downside is. Power corrupts, and physical power can also corrupt. And not only corrupt, but you can become arrogant. And one thing you need to learn is you need to learn how to be in charge of your power. How to exhibit restraint towards your power. How to decide when you're going to use your power. Not just when you get in the mood and you get angry, but when you've decided this is someone who needs to be killed. This is a war that needs to be fought. And not every time somebody ticks you off. Which, by the way, if you look at Shimshon's career, he seems to be very easy to provoke. How are you going to learn that as a little superboy? Little Clark Kent, how's he ever going to learn that with Ma and Pa Kent around? How's he supposed to learn it? So how do we all learn it? How do we learn restraint as kids?
Belt.
And what do the adults do?
The belt.
The belt. And what does the belt do? The belt says that if you don't exhibit restraint, there's a consequence. So hopefully we don't use a belt, but sometimes we have to talk to kids. And sometimes we say that if you don't use restraint, you're going to lose something. You can't really say that to Superboy. So what's the best way to teach him restraint?
Model.
Model it. And so what are the parents told to do? You avoid what is the most common drink in the world. And you avoid eating things you're not supposed to eat. And your child will see you every day behaving with extraordinary restraint. Hopefully he'll internalize what restraint is. Shimshon's mom is not supposed to avoid alcohol because she's got a baby in the womb. Because even after the baby's born, she avoids it. And the father avoids it. It's because you need to be role models for your kid. And I think that's what's going on. Halachically, we have a category known as Nazirot Shimshon. But I think within the model of the text, Shimshon is a Nazir only as a borrowed term. Like Rashi says in Amos. As somebody who is abstained and has got the separate kind of life. And in that sense, really becomes something, his parents really, become something of a model of perhaps something we need to internalize as far as education. But also Shimshon undoubtedly is the biggest failure in Sefer Shoftim. It shows that with all of these plans, that kind of power can really go awry.